Could I take a poll of the audience for just a moment? If you don't mind raising your hand, letting me know, have you ever been driving along in your car and run over a squirrel? Anybody ever done that? Lots of hands going up there. If you haven't done it yet, chances are you probably will. And since we have so many people that have said, yes, they've done that, I'm going to guess that for those of you who have not done that yet, though you've been driving, you've probably come close to running over a squirrel. And you know how it goes. You're going down the road, and a squirrel starts to come out from the side of the road, from some yard or the side somewhere, and they get to the road, and they can't make up their mind which way they're going to go. And they will go back and forth and back and forth, and you just want to yell at them, make up your mind, just pick a path and go. Now, I've gotten to the point where now when I'm driving along, I'm constantly scanning the sides, and if I see a squirrel on the side, even if he is 10 feet off the road, my eyes are focused on him to see what he's going to do, because stupid squirrels will just decide at the last moment to run out in front of your vehicle. Sorry, I'm not supposed to say that S word, am I? But they don't have much brains when it comes to that. And their hesitancy and their indecision cost them their lives. And they get run over. In a much grander scale, Joshua challenges the people of Israel in Joshua 24 in one of the greatest verses of the Bible. Verses that you will see stitched on pillows, that you will see painted in stencils in people's homes. You will see it in plaques. This is a very, very famous verse, and it is a great verse, and it's one that we need to consider tonight. In fact, it's my Facebook cover photo, and I believe there is much truth to be learned from this verse in Joshua 24. But he challenges the Israelites and says to them in 24 and verse 15, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Prior to that particular verse, leading up to that, you have Joshua at the end of his life, and he gathers all the Israelites together, the elders, the heads of the families, and the officers, and all these people are coming to him, and he goes through all the blessings that they have received and what God has done for them in their history, and how he took Abram out of the land of Mesopotamia and all those people over there on the other side of the river, that's the Euphrates River, and from the other gods that they were serving at that time, and he brings them to Canaan, or brings Abraham to Canaan. And then he talks about how they went down into Egypt and how they became slaves to the Egyptians there, but yet he brought them out of Egypt. He plagued Egypt and he brought them out. He brought them through the wilderness. And he brought them to Sinai, and he brought them through these various lands, making their way to Canaan, and there was opposition along the way, various armies and nations that were hostile to them, and how he took care of them, and they defeated all those armies, and then brought them into the promised land of Canaan, defeated all the armies there, all the peoples there, and nobody was able to withstand against them. Look at all that God has done for you, he said. And now you're in a land and you are possessing a land for which you did not labor. You are dwelling in cities that you did not build. You're eating from vineyards that you did not plant. This is what Yahweh has done for you. And so he challenges them. Based upon what God has done for them throughout their history, to serve the Lord. Back up one verse from verse 15 to verse 14. And he says, now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. In fact, there are a couple of times here that he tells them to put away their gods. Verse 14 is one, and then in verse Later on in the chapter, he talks about their gods that they have been serving. Verse 23, he tells them to put away the foreign gods that are among them. Apparently, they were still holding on to some remnants of their pagan background. He says, serve the Lord. And he makes that statement at the end of verse 15, that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What can we learn from this great verse of the Bible? First of all, we need to make up our mind who we're going to serve. In 1 Kings chapter 18, in another great verse of the Bible, Elijah is challenging the prophets of Baal and Asherah, 850 in total. And he looks at them and says, how long will you falter between two opinions? If Yahweh is God, then serve Him. If Baal is God, then serve Him. And on that occasion, they were silent, didn't answer Elijah anything. Of course, Elijah goes on to prove that yes, indeed, Yahweh is the one true God. But that same challenge that Joshua made and that Elijah made is a challenge for us today as well. How long will we falter? Make up your mind. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Stop this waffling back and forth. There are some of you that come to the worship services on a regular basis, fairly regular basis, and yet you've never obeyed the gospel. You've never put that old man to death. You've never put that old man to death in baptism and buried him there and been raised up in newness of life. It's time you make that decision. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. And if you're not going to serve God, then what are you doing? If you're not going to serve God, are you here just because you think that's what's expected of you from your parents or from your relatives or from the elders or from me or from the rest of the congregation? Are you here just to salve your conscience to try to make yourself feel better? Why are you here? Make up your mind. Who are you going to serve? If you're not really serving Him, what's the point? If you are not a Christian yet, if you have not put your old self to death yet, it's time you said, either I'm going to serve God completely, or I'm going to serve other gods. Now, obviously, like Joshua and Elijah, we want you to choose to serve the Lord. That was the whole point of the challenge from both Joshua and Elijah. We want you to choose the right one. But a choice must be made. You cannot go back and forth between the two. You need to make up your mind. And if Yahweh is who He says He is, if the Bible is what it says it is, if all the promises of God and the blessings that are awaiting you that the Scripture talks about are indeed there and true and ready for you to take advantage of, and if hell is real like the Bible says it is, then may I ask you, what are you waiting on? Make up your mind. Choose to serve the Lord. What this world has to offer does not come anywhere close to comparing with what God is offering you. And this is true for all of us, Christian or not. We cannot hold on to Yahweh in one hand and then hold on to the gods of the world in the other hand. We cannot go through life holding on to both. We have to let go of one and take the other. Which one is it going to be? Well, in verse 2 of our text, in Joshua 24, Joshua mentions that their fathers served other gods. In verse 14, he tells them to put away the gods that were among them, that their fathers served in Mesopotamia and in Egypt. And in verse 23, he tells them again to put away the foreign gods that were among them. Leviticus 17 and verse 7 speaks about how the Israelites in Egypt were sacrificing to demons, to these altars and these idols that were in the form of goats. He says, you get rid of them. Here we are, they've conquered the Canaanite land, and yet there were still some among them that were holding on to their past, holding on to those foreign gods. Joshua says, get rid of them. Get them out of your life. We may not be guilty of bowing down to an altar with a wooden or a stone or a golden image. But dare I say, even those of us who profess to be Christians, even those of us who have been baptized, even those of us who are faithful in other areas of our Christian life and claim that we are committed to serving God, dare I say that we are guilty of holding on to other gods. No, not some physical image, but other type of gods that come between us and the one true God. And we need to make up our mind, who are we going to serve? Is pleasure your God? Are you always in search of the next thing that will make you feel good? And I don't necessarily mean pleasurable things that are sinful inherently by themselves, but simple pleasures that we receive, such as just sitting down relaxing after a hard day of work and wanting to sit back and watch a TV show or a movie or read a good book or going to a theme park or going on vacation, going and traveling to different places that we want to go see, going out to eat with friends, going over to a friend's house, getting together. Well, what's wrong with all that, Marshall? Absolutely nothing. Unless that's what you're after most. Unless that's what you are searching for. Unless that's what brings you the most pleasure. And so you find yourself spending your time doing those things and neglecting the service of the Lord. Going to the lake on the weekends. Nothing wrong with that. I know some of you love Disney. Love going on vacations to Disney World. Nothing wrong with that. I love it too. Every year in February when we go down to the lectures, we always try to take one day and go to a theme park while we're there. But pleasure can become our God. Because that's what we plan for, that's what we spend our money on, that's what we spend our time on, and we let go of the things that really matter. Is money or your career your God? You know, there's nothing wrong with saving up in a retirement fund. There's nothing wrong with planning ahead and making sure that you're taking care of yourself and your family. Nothing wrong with that at all. But what did Jesus say in Matthew 6? He said, don't be laying up treasures for yourself here. He didn't say that it's wrong to, in and of itself, to make sure that you've got what you need, especially for later in life and your story. In fact, Solomon speaks highly of that kind of behavior in the book of Proverbs. But what's the difference? Jesus said, if that's what your focus is, if that's where your heart is, if that's what's really driving you, then you've got your priorities out of whack. You can't serve God and riches. You can't have both. Are you willing to miss church services or Bible classes on a regular basis, claiming that you have to work? Are you putting work in front of your family to where you're not spending time with your family like you should? Has work or career, money, become your God? Are you working so much that you don't have time to spend with God in His Word and in prayer because you're working so much you come home and you're too exhausted and you don't have time to do anything except maybe eat some supper and go to sleep? Is materialism your God? You know that feeling where you go buy something that you really like and it feels good. Whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. But you go find something that you've had your eye on for a while, something that caught your attention, and you just, oh, I gotta have this. And so you go and you buy that and it brings you some temporary pleasure. Ladies, you ever talked about going out for some retail therapy, as they call it? I hope you don't speak of shopping in that way, retail therapy, because that betrays an attitude towards materialism that should be far from us as Christians. Materialism has become our God. Things of this world have become our God. Those things only bring temporary pleasure. And if we find ourselves focusing on that and spending our money on that to the neglect of other more important things, then materialism has become our God. Is sports your God? Are you eager to eat, breathe, walk, live, talk sports? Now, BJ, you've got an exception. It's your job. You have to do that every day. But some of us can be tempted to where that's really all we talk about, especially in the fall. We are quite evangelistic when it comes to sports. And yet we can't find the time or make the effort to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Sports became our God. Maybe your children's team sports. That certainly has become a God in many people's lives these days, where their life is centered around their children's sports team and all the time and money they spend on that and going to various places and travel ball and missing services and can't do anything else because they're so consumed with sports. Nothing wrong with sports. Nothing wrong with playing a team sport. Nothing wrong with talking about sports. It's true with any of these things that I've mentioned, but has it become your God? Are you neglecting the work of the kingdom because of these things? Are you spending an inordinate amount of time or money on these things to the abandonment of what really matters? We need to make up our mind who we're going to serve. We can't have it both ways. Sure, we can participate in and enjoy the things that this life does have to offer, but only to an extent. Because it ought to be, like Joshua says, it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Nothing else comes close. Nothing else is going to get in my way of doing that very thing. And he goes on to make the point that God does not accept people who are halfway committed. Look again at our text in Joshua 24. Verse 16, the people replied and said to him, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." So Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." And they continue to say to him, "We will serve the Lord. We will obey." But I want to focus on verse 19. For there Joshua says, you can't serve the Lord if you're going to be halfway committed. That's not what's acceptable to him. He does not want a half-hearted effort. He doesn't want just part of you. He wants all of you. And if you go and forsake him, if you find yourself holding on to those other gods and you pursue them, he will visit punishment upon you. You will be destroyed. It's all or nothing. In the Lily of the Valley, a song that many of us have grown up singing all of our lives, there is a line there that says, "I've all for him forsaken, and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his power." That ought to be something that we not just sing out of habit, out of rote, but rather we really mean it, that we have taken all of our idols from our heart, and we've torn them down and cast them down, and we are 100% committed to the Lord. It's either serve God, Yahweh, the one true God, or serve other gods. It cannot be both. And God doesn't accept halfway commitment. He wants all of you. And he deserves all of us because of everything he has done. Joshua rehearsed all the things that he had done for the Israelites. And we could rehearse all the things that He's done for you and me. It should just be a natural response. I want to serve the Lord. You know, Jesus was 100% dedicated to His Father's cause. Jesus was 100% dedicated to your cause. He was 100% committed to you, doing whatever it took to provide for your salvation. God is still 100% committed to you. He wants that reciprocated. We need to be 100% committed to Him as well. Make up tonight. Make up your mind whom you're going to serve. Get rid of those idols from your life. Tear those altars down and serve Him. And then another lesson that we learn from this passage is that your commitment to serve the Lord can inspire others to do the same. Joshua challenged the Israelites that day. He said, you need to make up your mind whom you're going to serve, but as far as me and my house are concerned, we're going to serve the Lord. And they said, oh, we'll serve the Lord too. And Joshua says, we'll see about that. I don't know. I don't know if you really can. Yes, we can, and we will. So Joshua says, all right, you said it. You said that you will be committed. And they go through the process of entering into this covenant and swearing an oath that they will do so. Joshua's stand for him and his household inspired the rest of the Israelites to also be committed to the Lord. We can have that same effect today. And may I speak to those of us who are fathers and husbands, first of all. If you are a father or a husband, and a grandfather, even, you have the responsibility, number one. It's your priority, number one, to be the spiritual leader of the home. And it's your responsibility to take that stand and say, our household is going to serve the Lord. Nothing else is going to come in the way. Even if you're married to somebody that's not a Christian, even if you're married to someone who is not spiritually as strong as you are, somebody who is not as committed to the Lord as you are, you have the responsibility to make that stand and to say, this is the way it's going to be in our home. You know, your children will follow your example. If they see that you are not very committed, if they see that you're holding on to other gods, guess what they're going to do? They're going to do the same thing. They're going to follow your example. They're going to say, well, mom or dad, they're not that committed and it's not important to them, so why should it be important to me? And yet, if they see your dedication and commitment, if they see that nothing else comes close to serving the Lord, that is priority number one, and everything that you do, every decision you make, everything you buy, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, where you go, where you don't go, the things you do, the things you don't do, if everything is filtered through that one principle of, I'm going to serve the Lord, they're going to see that. And they're going to follow your example. Now, granted, in either case, just like with the Israelites, they have a choice. They are free will human beings, and they can decide whether or not they're going to serve the Lord. But you have a lot to say about that. The way you are committed or your lack of commitment will influence greatly your children. But it's not just your children and your family members that you can influence. There are people here. There are people at your work. There are people at your school. There are your neighbors. There are your friends from other walks of life. That if they see your commitment to the Lord, and they hear you talk about the Lord, and you bring up spiritual matters to them, and you let them know that you're concerned about their spiritual condition, and they see you make decisions based upon how you're serving the Lord, then you can inspire them to do the same thing as well. Your dedication, your actions, your courage, your words can inspire people to serve the Lord. You can inspire people by your words. You can inspire them in the same way that Joshua challenged the people. Through admonishment, teaching, exhorting, encouraging. It's not just my job. It's not just the preacher's job. There are people here that your example and your words can go a long way. You know, I remember my father and my mother telling me a long time ago when I was, probably my kid's age or younger. They said to me, "Marshall, remember, somebody is always looking up to you. Somebody is always watching you, whether you realize it or not. There are children younger than you that are always watching you and learning from you." And you know what? That's not just true of when you're my kid's age. That's true regardless of your age. Those of you who are in your 30s, there are people watching you. Those of you who are in your 40s, there are people watching you and listening to you and being influenced by you. And you may never know how much of an impact you have upon them. But if they see you dedicated, they see you committed, and you stand up and you speak about your commitment, and you go to somebody and you encourage them and you tell them how much they need to be committed as well, you can inspire them to serve the Lord. Joshua said, "It's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." That was his primary focus, his primary responsibility. But he had a great impact, obviously, on the nation of Israel. Others are looking at you. And our commitment will not only affect our own personal salvation and our own personal standing with God and our relationship with God and whether or not He will forgive us or whether or not He will punish us, but that same commitment or lack thereof will also affect our families, our children, our neighbors, our brethren here in the church. And I say we need to stand up and challenge each other and require that same commitment, make that same challenge that Joshua made to the people of Israel. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. Yeah, I'm preaching on it right now from the pulpit, but each of us in our interactions with each other, let's challenge each other to be committed to the Lord, to get rid of all those idols, those things that are coming between us and being 100% dedicated to God in everything that we do. You know, I appreciate how most of you are here every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. That's great. And we need more of that. We need more commitment to that because there's so much benefit that comes, obviously, from being with the brethren and being with the saints and worshiping God and the Bible classes. I mean, there's nothing that is more important in my mind than spending those hours with you. And not just because I'm the one that's standing up here delivering the word. I mean, I'd do it if I wasn't. I'd be here. But that's not the only part of our Christian life. You know, there are people that are here every week at all services and yet are not committed to the Lord. That's not the only barometer. It is a barometer, but it's not the only one. And what we do on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays are just as important, and sometimes even more so than what we do on Sundays and Wednesday nights. I want to challenge you tonight, the way Joshua challenged the people of Israel. Make up your mind tonight whom you're going to serve. If you're not a Christian, make a decision. Either serve the Lord and come be a part of His body, or say, you know what, I'm just going to go serve myself. I'm going to go serve other gods. That's not what I want for you. It's not what this church wants for you. It's certainly not what God wants for you. But make up your mind whom you're going to serve. For all of us who are Christians, you got something that you're holding on to? Let it go. Get rid of it. And each day this week, tomorrow, you wake up and you ask yourself, what am I going to do today to serve the Lord? What opportunity can the Lord give me to speak about His word? What opportunity can I take today
to grow closer to God? What opportunity can I take today to influence somebody to serve the Lord? Tuesday morning, you get up and you ask yourself, what can I do today to serve the Lord? What can I do today to say something to somebody to try to inspire them to serve the Lord? What can I do today to grow closer to God, to spend more time with Him, and to become more knowledgeable? Wednesday morning, you get up and you ask yourself, what can I do today to serve the Lord? It's an everyday thing. Each day, a new opportunity to show that we are committed to the one who is 100% committed to us. He gave everything for us. Let's give everything for Him. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. During this song, if you're ready to make that commitment, we encourage you to come forward while we're singing and let that commitment be known. Won't you come?